So welcome to this session on Power of Good Wishes. And my name is Sonia. I live in the center in Copenhagen, Denmark. And I'm just really happy to be in Madhuban. And I think it must be the same for you. And I also think that this pandemic experience with the lockdown and all restrictions has taught us a lot about how we are connected. And when we speak of power of good wishes, we actually speak on the power of our thoughts, isn't it? And I think the pandemic and the restrictions has also been a good lesson in how powerful our thoughts are in feeling connected or feeling separated. And I would like to start using the environment and the trees as an example on how we are all connected. As you might know, I work and I serve in the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative. And this environment initiative, we have linked spirituality and environment now for 10 years. And we are helping the centers to become more sustainable, more green in their management. And we are helping the Brahmins to understand the connection between mind and matter, between the nature and the power of thought. And we also then participate in many UN conferences on climate change, biodiversity, sustainability, and we advocate, we share the power of thought and Baba's knowledge in a UN language in these conferences. And this green service has taught me a lot about myself and the power of our mind. So I would like to take the examples of trees today. And we can take inspiration from the trees on how we are, as human beings, are connected with our thoughts. And I think we all like trees, isn't it? You find trees in all religions. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, it's okay. We find trees in all religions, in all traditions. The trees is a symbol of humanity, also in Baba's knowledge. And it's the sign of life, because they give oxygen. And they can stand alone or they stand together. And they are for playing and for air and for fruit and food and everything. But in the last 10 years, new science has come up that the trees actually communicate with each other. And this is new knowledge for many scientists, that the trees actually speak together. And how do they do that? They can speak to each other through chemicals, and they can speak to each other from kind of sound, and they can also send messengers to each other. And the groundbreaking work actually started by a German scientist. His name was Peter Verloben. And he wrote this book, The Hidden Life of Trees. And it became a bestseller. It was translated to English very quickly. And if you are interested, then you can write down his name and Google it and see if you find it in your language, The Hidden Life of Trees. And how it's working is that the trees are connected underground. And they are not connected with the roots, because it takes too long time for the roots to grow through the earth. But they are connected through some kind of fungi. Do you understand? Fungi is like a mushroom. And this has a name, Mycorrhizal Network. And here's an image. And these lines here, they connect the trees. And the trees then live in communities. So you would have normally between 50 and 100 trees in one community who are connected through this network, an invisible network. And they also have a leader that will be called the mother tree, who is the boss of this community. And for example, what can happen is if a tree is not well, for some reason, they can send extra chemicals, extra carbon, extra oxygen, whatever it needs to become healthy again to this particular tree. And within their community, they can also adjust the temperature so they can rise and or reduce the temperature in this tree community to help each other to become healthy again. And if there is a kind of attack coming, could be a bug, an insect or something that's on its way, they can warn each other through chemicals. And then the tree can respond by omitting some kind of chemicals which has a bad smell or has a bad taste. So the insect will not attack. And one famous example is in Africa, you have a kind of antelope which is called okapi. I don't know if you have heard this name, it's an antelope type. And this is, the okapi likes one kind of leaf very much. So this is very tasty, very yummy, so it eats this leaf. But if it eats too much, then the okapi can't control its taste buds. So this antelope will become sick, plus there will be danger for the trees if they overeat. So what happens is then when the antelope has eaten enough, then the tree change its chemicals so the leaves start tasting ugly. And it does that to protect the animal, but also to protect itself. And it sends messengers to all the other similar trees in that area. So it can't go to another tree and eat. So, but all trees in that area then start tasting bad. Isn't it fantastic? And they found out this recently. This is how they communicate with each other through this invisible network. We didn't know, human beings didn't know. Now the latest research is on the sound. They're trying to identify a kind of sound going through the earth to each other. I think I have another picture here. Let's see. Yes, and this kind of fungi network is also called Wood Wide Web. And of course it comes from the World Wide Web, from www, from the internet. And here you can see there are two trees, and then the tree in the middle is not well. And it turns out that there is, as I said, a mother tree in this community. And if they cut down the mother tree, actually the whole community can die. And since I got to know this maybe a few years ago, when I walk in the forest, I try to spot the mother trees. And if you're a bit intuitive, you will be able to see it, because it's like you come to a group of people and very quickly you find out who is the leader in this group, isn't it? The way the person speaks, the way the person sit, or the way the person sort of behave, or the way other people look and treat that person, you very quickly get an idea who is the leader in this group. And somehow I find, I mean, it could be my imagination, but it's like if you walk in the forest, you can sort of spot the mother tree quite quickly. It has kind of statue to it. But then they also found out that if you leave the stub, you know, if you cut the tree not completely to the ground, but you leave a bit above the ground, that stub can still do the work of a mother tree. And I came to think of our daddies when I heard that, because the daddies are kind of not with us anymore in the physical form, but they have been our mother trees. But they are still here doing their work in a subtle way, like a mother stub. And they have also found that in these communities of trees, they recognize each other's, we would say blood connection, but family connection. If this tree is of a physical offspring of the other tree next to it, it will have more nutrients, more food. So they prioritize their own family before they send to the other ones. And this is a kind of intelligent nature, which I think as human beings we can only learn from and become inspired by, and see how can I use that knowledge in my own life. And this is where we come to think about the invisible human network. You see, we are all connected underground, invisible, with our consciousness and vibrations. And our connection has many names. Some call it vibrations, some call it atmosphere, the energy between us. Sometimes we can feel each other's moods. And you have emotions and thoughts. But our invisible human network is very essential and it's very powerful. And I think we all have our own experience of this invisible human network, and I would love to hear some of your experiences after this presentation we can share between us. But basically what we can do is we can just pump good wishes into our network. And this is like the trees pumping out extra nutrients to your network. And we are actually connected on many levels. I remember long time ago when we had the Global Cooperation for a Better World. This is like a BK project now, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, and we were asked to identify our network. So we were asked to write down how many people we know and we are in contact with in person. So that the bus driver, the people in your favorite shop, you might get to know the faces in the cashier, or the colleagues at your work. Maybe you know some of the colleagues, friends or family. Then if you would have kids, you would know the kids' friends and maybe some of their family. And if your computer breaks down, you call a specific person, isn't it? And then you have all your own friends, which you immediately think of. And sometimes you get to know your friends' families and colleagues also. And then if we add the BK community, it's a massive network, isn't it? And we influence each other. For example, if I have had a call with my mum. My mum, she's 84. She lives alone in a house in Sweden, right out on the countryside. And sometimes she calls me if she's kind of scared out there. And then, of course, that would be in the back of my mind. So if I'm speaking, I haven't talked to her today, but just an example. So if I would have spoken to her today, she would have been in the back of my mind. So you would actually be influenced by my mother in the countryside in Sweden, like thousands and thousands of kilometers away from here. And you would be influenced by my mom without you knowing it. And if some of you look really miserable or angry, I would be influenced by you. When I sit and think the thinking here, I'm saying something wrong or something. It could be that you are in pain, for example, and I would interpret your face according to my own sanskaras, but that means I would be influenced by your pain. And let's say one of you have stomach ache, that's why you look a bit funny, and that stomach ache, it came from the food you were eating at lunch. And maybe one of our cooks here had a bad Maya day. Got into the food. And maybe he had a Maya day because he was in conflict with his roommate. So we are actually influenced by the roommate of someone, and we were Sevadar in the kitchen. So we are influenced all the time between each other. And of course, we have to use this in a way which is beneficial, but it's good to know about it. So I can just fill my network with good vibrations and power of good wishes. And here is just an example of people we can send good wishes to. I already said some of these, but it's friends, family, local community, colleagues, those who have a hard time right now, those with whom we have a conflict, or those who have hurt me, and to myself, to the earth, to all living beings. And the list is endless. And I met a brother from Pandabhavan yesterday morning, and he had been churning about the good wishes during the lockdown, and he'd put mathematics to it. And he's saying he says that there are 8 joules according to Baba. You have 8, and then you have 108, and then you have 16,100 of 8 ancestor souls. And if you take the 8, so he had this brother, he put mathematics to it, and he was the first example is that how many are we responsible for? So the trees, they have a kind of local community between 50, 100 trees, but how many? And there, the mother tree is responsible for the well-being of those community of trees. And let's say you are a mother tree in your network. How big is your network? How big is the souls you are somehow connected to, but not only connected to, but also responsible for? And this brother said, let's say there are 8 joules, and today the population is 8 billion. So that means that each ancestor souls of the 8 ones would be responsible for 1 billion each. So that's easy mathematics, but how big group am then I responsible for? And maybe it's worth to sit down one day and think about it, because that can increase my motivation for doing this. And as you know, we need food on a daily basis, so we would need spiritual food on a daily basis. Baba has put that in a very systematic, where you need the moli in the morning. But the soul would then need good wishes every day. So if you are responsible for a certain number of souls and their well-being, somehow you would also have to do this every day in order to have a community that is flourishing. So that's a good mathematics to do. And I don't know what number you will come to, but I would be interested to hear afterwards. And what do we charge our network with? Well, the list is endless. Sometimes I just sit with pure wishes and don't try to put the name of it or label it. It's just a pure thought. And then it will crystallize in others whatever they need. So you have a kind of blank, pure thought of just pumping neutral food out. And then each soul will absorb it according to their need and their deficiency. There is actually a berry that can do that. Did you know that? The blueberries, do everyone know blueberries? We have them in Europe mostly and in South America, but the North America also, Americas. The blueberries, they can take the form of the vitamin that the body needs to eat it. It's amazing. And our good wishes can do the same. They can take the form in the individual, in that shape that that individual needs. But sometimes I find it also very useful to be more specific, mainly for my own inspiration. So here, what do you send to other people is basically what you would need yourself. So you can send genuine good wishes, love, cooperation, support, light, joy, hope, friendship, soul consciousness, positivity. Yeah. And here I've written at the end, one cannot get the desired result through thinking of the undesired. So you have to think of what you desire to give. I also find it sometimes useful to have a theme for a while, to have a theme of sending love, and then to have it for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, and because I will have go into depth of that topic, and then I change it. And of course, we all need the contact to the charger, to charge your network. You need the contact to the charger, and maybe this is the most important slide after all. And this is our Baba's beautiful picture of the trees, which are so appropriate in this context. And you sit here in the invisible root network of soul connection. And then you feel your vibration into the manifested tree of humanity. And we asked in one class, Nirvabai told us, we asked him about his meditation and how he sent good wishes to the tree of humanity. And he said he imagined he sit underground in the roots of the tree. And on this side he has Brahma Baba. And on this side he has Shiv Baba as the seed. And then he sit there between them. And he connect to those two and then let it all happen. So I find it very useful to have a few images in your mind to help you and to help us. Because here there are some challenges, and when I did this presentation first time, I came across this passive aggression, and I thought it was useful to take up in this context. And let me read what it says here also for the translator, that passive aggression is a way of expressing negative feelings such as anger, but you don't do it directly but indirectly. So passive aggression behavior is often difficult to identify, it can sabotage relationship. While passive aggression behavior can be hard to pin down, but the most common signs is avoiding responsibility, deliberately postpone things or be inefficient, and refusing to discuss concerns openly. And sometimes you hear this in the Brahmin context, you hear, oh, that person, I don't like them, I had a conflict with them, I don't speak anything more to them nowadays, I just send them good wishes. Have you heard this? Someone using the power of good wishes in that way, saying, no, I cut off my relationship, now I just send them good wishes. But this is not good wishes. This could be passive behavior, passive aggression, that you actually feel a bit hurt and maybe you became angry or fearful, but I don't have the power to address this topic or it's too painful, so I freeze and then I just sort of try to override it by sending good wishes. So if the good wishes doesn't work, then I have to think about why. And I wanted to share another method with you, which I use myself sometimes, that if one person, for example, if I have trouble with one person in communication, in relationship or whatever, I would sometimes, what I do is I sit down and I think, what is the main problem here? What is it in this person I really don't like? What is the core negativity? Is it because I think they're egoistic or selfish or they're angry? Or what is it? I try to pinpoint the core problem. And then what I would do, I would find that same quality in myself. So if I think another person has been angry, I would find that anger in myself. Because I cannot be irritated on other people unless I have their qualities in myself. It's not possible. If someone is dominant and I don't have that at all in my personality, I could not see it even in them. So one thing is that when we... Because we are quite open books to each other, it's quite easy to quickly see each other's personalities, isn't it? We are trained eyes, we can see the speciality and the weaknesses quite quickly. And that's okay, this is life. But if other people's negative qualities start irritating, that's when the red flag comes up. Because that's a mirror of my own negativity, always, never, any other way. But how to do with it? So I would sit down and I would give my own weakness a lot of love. I would give it love until I feel it has eased. And then when I have given it a lot of love to myself, you would find that your relationship to that person who has the same quality will also ease and become more easy to work with. And I haven't found a single time when this hasn't worked. So if you, I was actually thinking maybe we could try this together. you like to do? Do all of you have a problematic person in your life? Someone who is free from any kind of conflict? No? You have minimum one person? Passive aggression. Yeah. Someone is expressing passive aggression towards you. Yeah. Okay. So you bring at least, you only take one person. If you have many, that's okay, but just take one of them and don't take the most problematic they had the whole life. And don't take the easiest one, like, you know, like a distant family relation you meet for Christmas dinner once a year or something. You know, should be a bit more juicy. Okay, you bring that person up in your mind, and then you ask yourself, what is the core negativity in that person which hurts me? Or which I'm afraid of, or which I just really don't like. So we can just take a few minutes in silence where you identify the core issue. Have you all found it? Yeah? Then you find it in yourself. You go within, find it in your stomach, in your heart, in your soul. And then you embrace it. Just give it love. That's all you need to do. Just embrace it, hold it, care for it. Don't resist it. Take responsibility for it. Give it to Baba, whatever. Look at it and love it. Okay. Is that possible? Can I have a handshake or no? Is it possible? Is it difficult? No. Is it easy? Both? Difficult and easy? Yeah. So my experience is, if you do this every day for 1 week, you will have a new relationship to that person. It has to be systematic. That's what sometimes difficult with feelings, because they are not systematic. And there is just one more thing I wanted to share, and then I'd like you to speak in small groups just for 5 minutes. But which person is the most difficult to give good wishes to on a constant basis? That would be the self for most people. Yeah. Today I had an experience in the morning, so I ended up just lying on bed giving good wishes to myself for 1 hour, and that was so nice. And I thought, okay, this is a good practice for the evening program. And actually, today's blessing was very interesting. Do you remember today's blessings in the Murli? What was today's blessing about? You remember, about not having waste thoughts about your mistakes. Yeah. So that's a very good to have waste thoughts about mistakes means I hammer myself. Oh, why did you do this? And you're not good enough, or whatever. And you should have done it differently, or what? And this is like hitting a person who's already lying down. So at that moment, I need a lot of love and good wishes for the self. I had a practice for, would it be 5 years maybe? Then whenever I used to do a mistake, I used to go straight to my favorite meditation space, and I used to sit and say, "Sweet Sonia," until the bad feeling is gone. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes, sometimes I think the worst case was 1 hour. And I wouldn't leave this place until I had this release feeling, and that the good relationship with myself has come back. And I have a feeling that this practice also brought so many other good things in my lap, like this green environment project, for example, which changed many things in my spiritual efforts. So before even I have good wishes for others, we know we have to start out with ourselves and never allow negative self-talk. Negative self-talk is actually forbidden. Never ever allow that. Baba talks in Moli, we have to examine ourselves, right? But we have to do it with love. Baba does it with love. So I can learn from Baba on how to deal with myself. Look at myself with Baba's eyes and then take it from there. So I like you to share 2 and 2 and 3 and 3 just for kind of maybe 10 minutes. Some experiences of the transformational power of good wishes. How you do when you give sarcasm to the world, which is actually Baba's word, isn't it? You give love and light. You give good wishes. You give blessings. And some stories of how you do it and when you do it. And so maybe you two here. And then you two sit next to each other, and then you are 3 on the next row, and 3 on the next row you get together, and you are 3 at the back, and then 3 brothers here. So if you get together and share this, how you do it, okay? You want to get together, you two? Yes? Yes? And then you say, hello, my name is, and this is how I give good wishes to others. And this row behind you, you can get together, you can move and sit 3. You at the back, you want to get together, 3? Yes? You 2 and that brother there. Okay. It's so nice to see you chit-chatting about these things. And I will finish here 15 past, but then there is another 15 minutes before the meditation starts. So if you want to continue to share there, you can do. But let me hear, is anyone has any question or you like to share anything or any insight or any thought? Yeah, because I realized this, one woman, my colleague of mine, she was always punctual. And she was the type of person that came 5 minutes before. And she used to get so angry on the people who came late. And you know, there's always the same people who also come late. And when we talked about this, that when you get irritated on other people... is always a mirror of yourself. And she says, no, it's not. I never come late. And then we realized she was actually, as you said, a bit jealous on the other people who allow themselves to be a bit more flexible. She didn't like her own tightness with time. So the other people who are a bit loose with time, they remind her of her own dislike of herself, of her own sanskara. You see? So that's why she doesn't like those people. So she took it to heart and she started to practice to come a bit late. Just to feel how it feels like and not to be so tight with the self always. And you know, these are very, very deep sanskars. It takes a long time. But it was a very beneficial insight for her. And there was another colleague, she said, she gets so angry when she sees other colleagues biting nails. and I don't bite nails, so this is not true, she said. But then we realized together, we went into depth, that when her colleagues bite the nails, it you give an impression of insecurity, isn't it? You feel that person is insecure. And when she sees other people's insecurity, she gets reminded of her own insecurity. And she doesn't like that at all. So she gets angry on the people who remind her of her own insecurity. And the only way to deal with that is that you have to look at your own weaknesses. So if I have looked at my own, let's say, arrogance, for example, and if someone is maybe criticize me for my arrogance, if I have looked at it, I could say, yes, I know I'm a bit arrogant. You know, I'm actually working on it. So if you could help me, that would be excellent. And then you have a friend for life. And they will also feel a bit embarrassed, maybe. But if I haven't looked at it, if I haven't come to terms with my own weakness, and others says you're arrogant, I will react. I will say, you should not speak to me like that, and you have the same, and look at yourself, or whatever. So whenever I react to other people, it would be a mirror of my own weaknesses, which I haven't addressed. One thing is to know about it and be a bit relaxed about it. And that can happen quite quickly. To remove it, well, we know it's a lifetime job, isn't it? To remove insecurity, fears, arrogance, anger, it takes all the time Rama has given, and Baba and my own effort has given me. But I can, in the meantime, be a bit relaxed about it. And I can do that by acknowledging it and giving it a bit of love on the inside. Yes? This is a very good question, because it is very difficult to get to know the self, and to use other people as mirrors is one very effective way of knowing the self. This is what we have addressed here, the last bit. But the other way, I suppose, is you use Baba as a mirror, or the Murli as a mirror, or you use your relationship as yourself as a mirror, and you will have to ask yourself, or ask Baba, or ask the Murli, and you see what you get. Yeah, they are a clean mirror, so you see yourself very clearly in their light. So I would say thank you. It was very lovely to be with you, and I put some leaflets here from our environment initiative, and you are most welcome to take and have a look on the website. We have some articles on trees, and we have an article on this topic, and we have some reports on our tree plantation in the Yagya, and there is also a bookmark there for Bee Zone and for our environment initiative. And we have also a mailing list for our environment initiative. I send out news out to the bee case maybe once every 2 months. So if you want to be on this website email list, you just give me your email. You can do it whenever you see me. And finally, I like to give you a special blessing. I brought this from Denmark. Can you see it's a tree on here? So I will come around with this blessing to you now, and then I'll just say thank you. And I hope you like to stay for the evening meditation in this room and to just practice sending good wishes. Okay? Thank you. Om Shanti.